I want to call your attention to scripture found beginning in the second epistle to Timothy in the third chapter. I have a lengthy reading lesson tonight. I ask for your patience. I had a short one this morning, but that's not the case tonight. I want to begin with the first verse of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and actually read a ways into the fourth chapter as well. So, you know, one of the things that we're told about history is that history repeats itself. And I want you to think about that. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the truth. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And I'm going to stop reading there with that fifth verse of the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy. This was the Apostle Paul writing this epistle to the young preacher Timothy, the second epistle that he wrote to him. It's no mystery that being written by a preacher to another preacher, that there were things that were written here concerning the Word of God and preaching the Word of God. But the Apostle Paul, you know, oftentimes you find these words in his epistles. He would write to a church, he would write an epistle to someone, and he would say, I would not have you to be ignorant. And that's what he's essentially saying to Timothy here in the beginning of this third chapter. He says, I want you to know this. This know also. I want you to be aware of this, have knowledge of this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And we need to understand here to I think, to properly get the right view of this, that the last days, we are well into the last days. The last days are the days since Jesus Christ came into the world. The Bible talks about, the Hebrew writer talks about him having appeared in the end of the world. And so when we read in the scriptures of the last days, we're reading of that time, dispensation of time, if you want to use that word, since the time that Jesus came. And he's going to come back again one of these days. And when he does, it's going to be over. Time is going to end. And so we are living in the last times. We're living in end times. We're living in the end of the world. Now, what day the world's going to end, we don't know. Only God is aware of that. But we are living in the end times. And he spoke about some of the things that would identify these perilous times, how that people would become. And, you know, these things that Paul was writing to Timothy about and warning him about and foretelling to him that were going to come, he was not, at least this is my view of this, he was not just telling him about, Paul was not prophesying to Timothy about some distant future time when these things would happen. I believe that he was warning Timothy about things that he would face in his day. And the corruptness of people's minds that we experience, I spoke about it this morning, how it seems that the minds of people are so reprobate, the minds of people are so unreasonable. But it's not the first time that it's happened. And the Apostle Paul here even referenced these ones that withstood Moses. And so, you know, there have been people down through the ages of time that have just not been willing to receive the Word of God. They've just have not been willing to take the truth. And so the Apostle Paul says that there'll be men, there'll be lovers of themselves. Now, you know, when you read this, you probably think, "Oh yeah, I've seen that. I've witnessed that. That there are people that they love themselves. They're covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." These things are not good. These are bad. These are bad flaws. But Paul said that this is the way that people are going to be. And he went on in this, in writing this. And this is all a continual thought. You know, when these things were written, now, today we have in our Bibles, we have things that are broken down into chapters and verses. It wasn't like that when they were written. These things were just written continually. And this is just a continued thought. What we find in the fourth chapter just continues from what was being said in the third chapter. But the Apostle Paul, he began to tell Timothy about the scriptures, how that they are given by inspiration of God, that the scriptures are the greatest thing that have ever been written. The Apostle Peter said about them, he said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And we can find in the Bible, we can find examples and situations of just how serious that God is about His Word. There are people, many people have the attitude that they can sit under the sound of God's Word and just say, well, that's not for me, without any consequence. And certainly God will allow people to choose whether or not to believe His Word and to put His Word into practice in their lives or just reject it and go on. God will allow us to choose, but He will not allow us to choose without consequence. There is consequence. There are bad things that happen when people won't listen to the Word of God, when people reject the Word of God. And as I said, we have examples of that in the Scriptures, and you may have seen examples of people, perhaps you've even known somebody in your life that you could see what was happening because they just would not listen to the truth. They would not listen to the Word of God. So Paul said the Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's all profitable. Now, I spoke this morning about Jesus talking about things that did not profit, how that the Lord said, asked the question, what would it profit anybody to gain the whole world and lose their own soul? What would that what type of advantage would that give to them? And it wouldn't. It wouldn't profit them anything to do that. But Paul here said that the Word of God is profitable. It's profitable for our lives. It's profitable for us in many ways. It's profitable for doctrine. And certainly, you know, we ought to know what we believe because we ought to know where we stand. You know, there are many issues that we face, and we ought to know where we stand. And it's like the old saying, if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything. And so it is profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. Has the Word of God ever reproved you? We can even go back, those of us here tonight that have been saved, we can even go back to the time and reflect back on how the gospel convicted us of our sins and caused us to see what we were in the sight of a holy God, how that we were just sinners before Him. And so it's good for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness. Listen, if the Word of God can tell us how to live life properly, and it does tell us that. It instructs us in the ways of righteousness. That's one of the things that we see that David spoke about there in the 23rd Psalm, how that the Lord would lead him in the paths of righteousness for His namesake, and the Word of God instructs us in righteousness. Now, the Apostle Paul, he wrote these things to Timothy, and then he gave him a charge. He said, I charge you before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, I charge you, Timothy, to preach the Word. And, you know, when we preach, that's what we need to preach. We need to preach the Word. That's what people need to hear, the Word. That's what's profitable unto people. Sometimes it may reprove you. Sometimes it may show us where we are deficient in our service to God. Sometimes even as Christian people, sometimes there might be things that will convict us of the things perhaps that we are doing or not doing. Listen, the Word of God doesn't always make people feel good about themselves. Sometimes it makes us feel guilty. Sometimes it causes us to realize where we do fall short. It reproves us in that way. But it also gives us the instructions as to how to improve. It instructs us in the ways of righteousness. I really think that what the Apostle Paul here was writing, I really think that's what a lot of the, what we would call modern churches today, what we would call modern religion, what we would call watered down gospel, watered down evangelism. I think that's what perhaps attracts such large crowds to that, because somebody will get up in front of them and they'll tickle their ear. They'll give them something that's soft. They'll give them something that's easy to hear and easy to digest. The gospel is condemning. The gospel, when it's preached, and I remember this, and I learned this by experience. When you're lost, and the truth of the gospel is laid out before you, and it causes you to realize what you really are, it doesn't give you a big, warm, fuzzy feeling, does it? It condemns you in your soul. But there are people, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that they're sinners. They don't want to hear that they're condemned before a holy God. They just want to hear about God being loved, and all they need to do is just, just a little bit of self-reform and just straighten up a little bit and maybe do a little bit better, and all will be well. Now, the Bible tells me that they need to repent. They need to repent and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But, itching ears, people having itching ears, I think that we certainly see that today. I believe that it has been seen in the past. People that want to hear something that will just make them feel warm and fuzzy all over. Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. God's going to judge. Boy, the world has just seemingly forgot that God's going to judge. There's a judgment that's coming, and we're going to give account. He said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. Be patient with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach it when it's convenient. Preach it when it's not. Preach it to people that may want to hear it. Preach it to those that don't. In season, out of season. For the time will come. I think if we're honest with ourselves, and we should be honest with ourselves. I listened to Brother Skinner preach a sermon out at Old Union a week or so back about deception. And I thought, it's bad enough that there's people in the world that deceive other people. It's bad enough that there's even people that call themselves preachers that use the word of God in such a wrong way that they deceive people about their souls. It's really bad when people deceive their own heart, let alone someone else deceiving them, but they deceive their own heart about something. And so we ought to be honest with ourselves, and I think that if we are, that we will all have to admit that there's times when we hear God's word and we realize the deficiency that's within us. And I wonder, what do we do? You know, the fact that the scriptures give us instruction in righteousness, to me, it was to be used to produce change in us. You know, it's not enough for us to just hear the word of God. James said in his epistle, that's not enough. It's not enough to just hear the scriptures. It's not enough to just hear the word of God. When the word of God reveals to us something that we do need to change, then it's up to us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. But I wonder in my own heart, you can ask yourself the question in your heart, does the word of God affect me? You know, listen, you can hear a sermon and you can say, oh, that was a good sermon, preacher. You can hear a sermon and say, oh, that, you know, that got on my toes. That made me feel a little bit uncomfortable. That made me feel like crawling under the pew. But the question is, what do you do with it? What do you do with it? James said, if you don't do anything but hear it, you'd be like a man that looks in a mirror and walks away and forgets what he even saw, forgets what he even looked at. The time will come, Paul said, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they'll turn away. They'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. Now, listen, that's bad. That's bad when people get to the point that they would rather hear fables than hear the truth. I remember one of the things when I was raising my children, I remember one of the things that I always told them when they got into mischief or something, I told them, I said, I want you to tell me the truth. It may not be something I would like to hear, but I want to know the truth. Just tell me the truth. Just tell me what happened. Don't try to lie to me. Don't try to deceive me. Just tell me the truth and we'll deal with it. It's bad when you would just rather hear a soft story or a fable. But that's what Paul said would happen, that they would turn their ears from the truth and be turned into fables. And listen, it's sad that there's going to be a lot of people, I'm afraid, that will split hell wide open because they wanted to just hear fables. They wanted to just hear something that maybe would make them feel good about themselves. I'll tell you what the Bible tells me about mankind. It tells me that there's none of us that are good, not even one. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men, and what he saw was that there was none good, no, not one. He didn't see anybody that was good enough to not be in need of a Savior. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, every one of us. I'm thankful for God's Word. I'm thankful for the people in my life. I've told you this before. I go back to my boyhood. I go back to the days of my childhood. And I'm thankful for the men of God that would proclaim the truth. They would just get up in front of me and they would just preach the truth. They would just lay it out. They would preach the Word of God as it was to people as they were. And that's what needs to be done still today. The Word of God needs to be preached to sinners just as they are. And so I'm thankful for that, for the people that love God, that love the Lord, that loved His Word, that love sinners. I'm thankful for churches like this still today that will uphold the truth, that will stand for the truth. You know, what we believe is becoming very unpopular. But listen, to a great degree, the truth has always been unpopular. There has always been those that have not wanted to believe it and have not wanted to receive it and would rather hear a fable than the gospel. But boy, we ought to proclaim it. The men that God has called to preach ought to preach it. Those that He has saved ought to bear witness to it. I think we ought to stand up for what's right. I think we ought to stand up for what we believe. And I, as far as I'm concerned, when somebody comes off with these things that are just contradicting the Word of God, well, just tell them. Boy, John the Baptist did it, didn't he? He told Herod, he said, listen, it's not lawful what you're doing. It's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. I'm afraid that there are too many people, and I think this is really hurtful. There are too many people that are claiming Christianity, and I think that's what many of them are doing. They're just claiming it. Too many people that are claiming Christianity that think, well, you ought to just be quiet about all these sinful things that people are promoting and just mind your own business, go your own way. No, I believe we ought to stand up for God and for His Word and for what's true. And listen, if you read, well, you can read about it in the Bible, you can read about it on the pages of church history, but if you read about why God's people were so persecuted through the years, it wasn't because they hid in a corner and didn't stand up against anything. No, it was because they did stand up. They were persecuted because they did stand up. What did Paul here say in these verses that I read? He said, they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And friends, listen, that doesn't just mean those living godly there, doesn't just mean those that will abstain from drinking alcohol or things like that. It's talking about people that'll live for God, that'll stand for God, that'll live godly in Christ Jesus, are going to suffer persecution in this world. And all I know to say is, if you say, well, I don't ever suffer any persecution, well, try standing up for God. It'll happen. There'll be people that you think like you. You'll find out they don't. People that'll turn away from you, persecute you, say evil things about you. They did it to Jesus, didn't they? Jesus said, they hated me, they'll hate you. They persecuted me, they'll persecute you. But God gave us, when he gave us his word, he gave us the truth. And he gave us something that's profitable. And, you know, I can say this with all honesty, that the word of God has profited me in my life. You know, I experienced great profit when I was willing to believe the gospel and repent and trust in Jesus, and he saved me. That was profitable to me, and it's profitable for us in our Christian walk. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews 4 and 12, he said, the word of God is alive. In the King James Bible, it's quick. The word of God is quick, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Get a picture of it. This razor-sharp word of God, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and of the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. God's word will work on your heart, won't it? And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I'll tell you what, the gospel, it laid my heart open. That's what it does. It lacerates. It cuts. And it causes us to see just what we really are. Thank God for his word. Thank God for his inspired word. The Holy Ghost is the author of all scripture. It was given by his inspiration, and it's profitable. It's profitable for us in our lives. Thank you for your attention tonight. And Brother Ernie, if you would, I'd like for us to have a song.